With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
What's up, shelf addicts? Welcome back to the Shelf Addiction Podcast. Today on Book Chat, we are covering the October buddy read, The Children on the Hill, written by Jennifer McMahon. Stay tuned. Hey everyone, I'm your host, Tamara, and welcome back to the podcast. If you're new here, we feed your shelf addiction with fun book conversations, bookish topics, and more. It's like listening in on your favorite book club. Participate in this discussion by joining the Facebook group, Shelf Addiction Official, or on the Book Clubs app. I hope to hear your thoughts on today's show. You can always find me and Classy on Twitter and Instagram. The links for everything I've mentioned are below in the show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, please support this podcast by sharing it with some book nerd friends or on your favorite social media space. And don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe before you leave. That will really help me out, and I appreciate you for doing so. The uncut video version of this podcast is available now on Patreon. Join us there for exclusive videos, including after shows, special episodes, and more. So if you're interested in that at all, you'll need to come on over to Patreon and sign up. As always with Book Chats, we talk spoilers here, so you've been warned. Without further ado, let's begin. Joining me is the Buddy Read feature co-host Classy Green from the Bookish Virtual Assistant. Welcome again, Classy.
Hi, Tamara. Thank you for allowing me to join you one more month. I'm like trying to think how long have we been doing this? A couple years, yeah. I'm just happy every month. Like, okay, here I am again.
Yay, because we have such a good time. It's always a fun time.
Yeah.
So today, before we get started, the after show is available right now for you. Head on over to Patreon if you are interested in watching that. It's a fun time. All right. So today we are talking about The Children on the Hill, written by Jennifer McMahon. The audiobook is narrated by Aaron Moon, published April 26, 2022 by Gallery and Scout Press and Simon & Schuster Audio. The hardcover comes in at 338 pages and the unabridged audio comes in at 10 hours and 44 minutes. Classy, would you kindly read the synopsis?
Certainly. A genre-defining new novel inspired by Mary Shelley's masterpiece Frankenstein, which brilliantly explores the eerie mysteries of childhood and the evils perpetrated by the monsters amongst us. 1978. At her renowned treatment center in picturesque Vermont, the brilliant psychiatrist Dr. Helen Heldrich is acclaimed for her compassionate work with the mentally ill. But when she's home with her cherished grandchildren, Vi and Eric, she's just grand, teaching them how to take care of their pets, preparing them home-cooked meals, providing them with care, attention, and love. Then one day, Gran brings home a child to stay with the family. Iris, silent, hollow-eyed, skittish, and feral, does not behave like a normal girl. Still, Violet is thrilled to have a new playmate. She and Eric invite Iris to join their monster club, where they catalog all kinds of monsters and dream of ways to defeat them. Before long, Iris begins to come out of her shell. She and Vi and Eric do everything together. Ride their bikes, go to the drive-in, meet at their clubhouse in secret to hunt monsters. Because as Vi explains, monsters are everything. 2019, Lizzie Shelley, the host of the popular podcast Monsters Amongst Us, is traveling to Vermont, where a young girl has been abducted and a monster sighting has the town in an uproar. She's determined to hunt it down because Lizzie knows better than anyone that monsters are real, and one of them is her very own sister.
All right.
The end.
So, high level, when you finished this book today, which I know it was today because I finished today, I have a feeling. Was it today?
It was today.
All right, now. What did you think?
It was today and some hours ago.
Yeah, I think I finished about 2 hours ago.
See, look at there. I may have beat you by an hour.
Okay.
High level. If this wasn't a buddy read, I'd have DNF'd this shit way earlier.
I get it. I get it. Okay. So for me, when it was all said and done, I liked it. Although I agree with you, if it weren't a buddy read, I would have quit before I got to the part that I liked. It took that long. It was a long start. Long running start.
Yeah, I can't wait to find out the part you liked.
Okay.
Let me write notes. Tamara's part that she likes. Okay.
Well, you know, honestly, okay, let's start with, I guess, we usually start with the negative and then move into the positive. It seems like that's been our trend. Commercial yeah. break and come back with the positive. So,
right.
Let's just dive on into, you know, the issues that we have with the book. So, wait, first, you guys, I have to say, I picked this book. I wanted something a little bit different for October, you know, a spooky season. So I knew one of the issues we usually have with the, with books is, you know, genre tagging is wrong. But with this, I knew it was going to be a hodgepodge of things. That was actually sold correctly. I don't know if I would call it genre defying, but
yeah,
it was a little
I think
bit.
That's like a new trendy term.
Yeah. It's a little bit of horror, a little bit of thriller, a little bit of mystery, a little bit of, you know, I don't know. Some people are saying gothic, maybe. I wouldn't classify it as that, but it's a lot of.
See, and stuff. I got more gothic, more mild gothic than horror.
Yeah, it's definitely not traditional horror. I think that.
Yeah.
Especially with the end. After the end, I'm like, damn it. So. The horror aspect was yanked away from us, right?
Yes. I agree with that.
Yeah.
That I will agree. Like the end, it was like you waited to the end to do this. Whew. But yeah.
Yeah. So with that said, let's jump into the nitty gritty of all the things. You can start. I know you got something on the tip of your tongue you want to say.
No, I mean, I kind of want to go back on your comment of genre and, you know, how they classify it wrong in Goodreads. And we all know in Goodreads, it's reader dominated. It's reader picked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the reader feels like, you know, they tag and that's what we pull up. So as far as it's genre defying, it was a modge podge.
Yeah, it's not
genre defying.
Yeah, okay, so I would say it's kind of inspired by Frankenstein, right? Just like they said inspired by, because it's not a retelling. It isn't.
Exactly.
So I would agree with that. So they made two points in the very first sentence that I actually agree with.
Is that where you're going in?
What? Oh, yeah. I was going to let you say something else.
Oh, I was going to say, is that the only thing you agree with? What?
Well, you know, in the synopsis, right, the rest is pretty self-explanatory, but usually I
yeah.
go off on like, why are they fake selling us some crap that's not real? And for once, it actually is what they say it is without giving everything away. And that was a long synopsis and they didn't give everything away.
I will say that the synopsis gave you a lot without any spoilers, you know, because we do run across some synopsis or it's like, well, damn, there's the whole, we figured it all out right there. And you don't. Like I said, I felt like I didn't have a lot of horror. There wasn't a lot of horror. And maybe, like, you know, you said it wasn't traditional horror. When I think horror, I think eerie, don't pull back the cover, don't look, you know, don't open that door. Here's the thing, like, I thought, like, after reading this and, you know, they were saying horror, I was like, has my level of horror gone up? Like, this wasn't horror to me. I'm just like, horror? This isn't horror.
Yeah.
Mild gothic, I kind of got that feel, and maybe the way she set it up, kind of, you know, with the Frankenstein-esque feel, that I felt like the mild gothic, but I guess too, the different genres that she had in there, I felt like a little psychological thriller feel in there. And then I'm just going to say it, like, I even felt a little YA in there, because that 1978 story was kind of young adult, almost middle grade. And maybe it was the language she used.
It was the storytelling method. So the vehicle she used to tell the 1978 stories wasn't an adult recalling. It was like, we're going to read out of this monster book, which those aspects, you know, not every 78 chapter was that, but when they did read out of the monster book, kids wrote it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like kids wrote it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And and I will say that the narrator did a phenomenal job with the voice of a child in giving you that feel. So, you know, I would say the genre.
It's a mashup.
The cornucopia, plethora. It wasn't defying, you know, it was just different. That would be my thing. And I also felt like, if you're going to give me a happy ending, I just don't see happy endings with monsters and
just say it.
Scientists.
We spoil things. Just blurt it out.
Yeah, you know, it was like, it's a happy ending. And I'm like, I don't see happy endings with monsters and mad scientists and all that kind of stuff. And it was like, okay.
I don't know if I would say that was a happy ending.
Well, yeah, okay.
So,
maybe.
Okay, so
I don't know. I mean, it was kind of for some people.
It was a relief for Iris. Because she was like, dang, my sister's not a murderer, but she actually is. That's the thing. So, like, that was the twist at the end. So, there were two twists, I think.
There was a couple of twists. Yeah. See, you thought two. So if you said, I missed
that
one.
Well, there were two that I noted. So, like, at the end, so everything seems okay. You know, Vi is off, you know, saving lost girls and creating new lives for them. But in that last little bit, we find that they actually murdered that girl's father. So,
okay, I would say one happy ending. How about vindication? Vindication. Yeah,
and she's like, we're going to play this cat mouse game forever, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not going to be able to stay away. That's not how this is going to work. So I think it is happy for now, right? Until she gets a bug up her call and she wants to come after her again to slap her hand for killing people.
Yeah. And it's to this point where it's like, do you really want to do that? Because, and you said three. So I did forget about that twist at the end, because I had two other twists that I thought were plot twists. So, yeah, I forgot about that end part, probably because I wrote this other stuff prior, and I just finished that. But yeah, that was, you know, it was a good little twist. Did not see it coming. Not at all.
Yep.
I will say that was, you know, I know we're doing negative, but that was one of the things that I was like, ooh, okay, Jennifer, it's been a while. And I've read it's been a long time.
It's been a while since someone has been able to got me, and she, or I wasn't able to guess it. And there were that and something else I didn't guess. And when it happened, I'm like, oh my God, it was so obvious, but I didn't get it.
I think that might be my, that twist that I found too. I was like, well, I be.
Let's
damn.
Go ahead and talk about it. We jump around. So let's go ahead and talk about that twist, because I think we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah. So I felt like there were two. Vi was patient S. Mm-hmm. I thought that was Iris.
Me too.
And then Vi was Rattling Jane. I thought that was Iris.
Yes, that whole thing. Okay, so I even wrote down when that happened in chapter, that was pretty late. That was chapter 48. Mm. That was pretty late.
Yes.
The deal.
I think we were 70% in.
Yeah. And when that happened, I'm like, wait, I had them reverse this whole time. And I'm like, well, if I feel like if I go back and reread the beginning of this book now with a different knowledge, it will read different. Because
oh, definitely.
I totally went that whole 70% thinking one way. And I was like, wait a minute. I was like stunned. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah. Here we're thinking the monster the whole time is Iris.
Yeah, and it wasn't. But that was also like, I almost went to like slap my head, because I'm like, that was so, it was
obvious.
Like hiding in plain sight, right? It was too cut and dry. It was too clear what was what.
Yeah.
And that's why it wasn't what was what.
Yeah. And I think, like you were saying, the vehicle she used, her storytelling method, she filled us up and she gave us so much backstory.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know, because that's what, I mean, when we got to that part, it was 70%. But the majority of that story was 1978. She was giving us, you know, we had little bits and pieces of 2019 present time.
And that point of her storytelling was from Vi. It was Vi's point of view.
It was only Vi.
So
the whole time.
The whole time. Yep. So of course we're thinking this must be her telling her story. And it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, kudos to Jennifer for that, you know, that she kept the reader so focused. And I mean, it was from the POV, but the things that she gave us made us not even
think about it,
even like, to even like consider that, no, this has got to be Iris, because this whole time, you know, Iris is the new person. Iris is the one who came, you know, and who remembers all this, you know, like, you know, that she's got the scars and, you know, and Gran is asking Vi, you know, take notes on her. Give me, you know, give me updates.
But, you know, there were clues. Like, hindsight is 2020, right? There were clues.
Yeah.
Like, when Vi saw Iris's scars, later she showed her she had scars. I'm like, oh.
Very similar.
And I heard it, but it didn't ring the bell for me.
No. It almost was to the point that Jennifer did it as she could possibly be the other sister. Because this family, the Templetons, who were the experimental family that they were using for eugenics, I almost thought, is this her sister? Because, you know, they died in a fire. So maybe these are just burn marks, because these scars weren't like literally told to us, you know, the exact kind of scarring, whatever. they just had similar scars. So at one point, because she kept saying, go get your sister or my sister. Yeah. So I was like, maybe they were long lost. Well, I won't say long lost, but maybe she was one of the sisters from the Templetons. Because again, Jennifer, oh shit. The more I talk about this, the more I might... Fuck it!
You like it!
Fuck! Do it! Fuck! You saw it, didn't you? You saw it! No, I don't! Don't like this book!
Until
damn
after
it.
The commercial! Okay.
Damn it, I don't like it.
Okay.
I'm only saying things that are interesting.
Okay, if you say so.
Let me put on my face again. Regroup. Let me regroup here.
And you know, though, Jennifer also threw us off by one other thing, and I'll tell you where my brain went. Totally off the rails. So, you know, there were points when Vi would point out how similar she and Iris look physically.
Mm-hmm.
So I start thinking, what if y'all are like clones or something? Like, I start thinking, what if she's just lying and you guys are clones?
Right, because she is a mad scientist.
Yeah. And I'm like, is she cloning them? Is that what's happening? And I was wrong, but that's instantly what I thought when she kept saying, oh, and at the night of the fire, when Eric set the fire and, you know, old girl was screaming in the woods and someone mistaked her for her, right?
Yeah, one of the orderlies did.
Right. So I'm like, they look that similar. You're confusing the two of them. I'm like, they must be clones, but they weren't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And that's why I was like, see, she tricked, you know. Again, she made it seem like that they were similar, or possibly related. And but yeah, she threw us with, you know, those little red herrings were just, you know, I mean, Gran did say y'all were sisters, but, you know, it wasn't blood sisters. No. But yeah, those were some of the you know, the two twists that really threw me. I did not see them coming.
There's another
the whole
twist.
Time.
I just thought of it.
So what? So that's...
I guess it was kind of... It, maybe it was a reveal, not a twist. When it was revealed...
Okay, which one?
Okay, so, of course, after we find out that these two girls were given the Frankenstein memory treatment, I thought that maybe Eric had also been given the treatment. I knew that they weren't related, but I said, was he also a part of this grouping? Like, was he another experiment? But then we later found out that in actuality, they stole him. She stole him from the mother and said that he was stillborn and then raised him in a similar way where he was spying on Violet. The same thing that Violet was doing to Iris.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And he was like, I know you're not my sister. And I was like, oh.
I'm like, you little brat. And you know, every time, and that makes so much sense now, because every time, like when Violet was on the phone, who's on the phone? Who's on the phone? I'm like, what is wrong with him? Tell him to shut up.
But you know what? But that's a little brother, too. That's a nosy ass little brother. Yeah. And it was perfect. Mm-hmm. And it was something else that you said that made me think about. The brother and another thing was like, I knew something was, I couldn't put my finger on them not being her grandchildren because she had no children. Mm-hmm. Gran had no children. She lost her twins to stillbirth.
Yeah.
And I could not put my finger on it. And I was, and then it just got to the point where it was like, I can't, you know, we couldn't figure it out. You know, she had the lover.
Yeah.
You know, the other doctor that she was working with that, you know, they claimed they were lovers. And I was like, maybe they had a love child that nobody is bringing. You know, it was just so many things to think about. Like, where did these kids come from? Mm-hmm. But then when that reporter kept saying, now, who is your dad again? Who yes. are your parents again?
Like, that's not her. Because she's like, I didn't find that in my investigation. She's like, let me clear up who you said your father was.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, clearly that's made up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, she did. But she, you know, she gave us just so much information. She threw so much at us. Pertinent information. I mean, some I thought was a little filler stuff, but it was still pertinent information that she filled the reader up with, that we were so focused on this that we didn't even see, you know.
It was a magician's sleight of hand. Look over here.
Yes, it was.
While I slide this in over there, you don't even know.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so, exactly. Magician's sleight of hand. Exactly.
She did that. And she did. That was the best thing about the book, is that the fact that I could not guess what was going on. To me, that is a million. You get a zillion points for that, because it's so easy for me to guess a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But I was off. Forever. I was so far off.
I was too. But it just took so damn long.
It was a slow start. Like, I thought at the beginning, it might be okay when we start with that scene of, you know, the monster following this girl. And I thought, well, what the hell is going on? Did they kill her? What happened?
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like it was going to be fast, but then all of a sudden it just slows to this crawl. And I can't really explain what made it slow, but I found myself rewinding parts of the audiobook. I found that I could not listen to this and do other things. I had to really hone in.
Me too. Even though, like, I was able to do it at 1.8, but I had to stay focused. Even though it was slow as Methuselah, you still had to pay attention, because, you know, at one moment there, she's trying to go into Gran's basement, or she's trying to convince the nurse to help her with her scheme. And then the next they're reading from the handbook, and you're just like, but the handbook is something really important in the handbook. You know, and you just don't know when they're going to go to the handbook. Yeah. So,
and actually you mentioned 1.8 listening speed. I started at 1.8, and I think after about 20%, I slowed it down to 1.5, because I'm like, well, maybe I'm not hearing everything the first time through, because after I rewound so many times, I'm like, I just got to slow it down. Maybe that's what it is. So I slowed it down to 1.5, and I did a lot less of that.
Okay.
But it was that's the thing, you guys. There were, like, if we talk about the point of views, there was the Book of Monsters, there was Vi, there was, what's the girl's name now? What's her name?
Iris.
There was what's her adult name? Lizzie Shelley.
Lizzie, right.
And there was a book that was written by this author that we meet later. She's a college student.
Oh, I do. That's right. So Judy or Julie or somebody. So I forgot about her
From her book.
Right.
So that's like five things going on.
The helping hand of God or something, right? Because
she wrote it about that place. And we find out later that Iris had given her the one file she had in her backpack to help her write that book.
Yep. And you don't, right. And, you know, and when you're listening on audio, and in this audio book, there wasn't like, well, no. With audio, period, you don't know until it gets there and they say, you know, chapter so-and-so or from the book of. And like you said, if you're going too fast and not really paying attention, you will overlook some really key elements of the story. And every one of those, I forgot, even the journalist, her book, she gave us some really key points in her story or from the book, especially like lineage, trying to think some other things. But yeah, all those points of view.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like we got the history on the grandmother. We got that from the book that she had written about the what is that place called? It's a mental health facility.
Yeah, it was the the hand, God's Helping Hand, The Children on the Hill. No, The Children on the Hill was the name of the book, but The Helping Hands of God or something or something.
Well, that's two things. So
that was the name of her book.
Okay, because I could not remember. Okay, so there was The Book of Monsters. There was The Book of Helping Hands, you said? I don't know. Something like that. That was about the Vermont psychiatric place. It was about that.
Right.
And then they...
God's Helping Hand.
Yeah, and then they
like
mentioned
that.
Another book about eugenics.
Oh, that's right. That... Grant and the Doctor
right.
wrote,
so
or the
that's
Doctor
a different
wrote,
book,
right?
But we didn't read from it; we just knew about it.
Right. There were just right. There were a few pieces because in the book it did mention because Vi read some of it when she started going through the files because that's how she knew she read eugenics and she's like, I know what that word means. Mm-hmm. Because Grant has used it, and that's how she figured out, because he mentioned, you know, how to make a greater race and get rid of the RET, you know, those people. But we can, so yeah, she read a little bit from his book.
Okay, so we had that.
But it wasn't like it was
chapter,
a whole chapter.
Right, it wasn't separate.
Yeah, it was buried. Yeah, it wasn't separate. It was right within one of her chapters.
Yeah, so then we have Bye, Lizzie. So that's a lot of different things. And I guess the good thing about it is in the audiobook, so for example, it's 1978. I know those are Lizzie's chapters until the end. It gets a little messy at the end. Then it's 1991. So I knew those are Lizzie's chapters. And then they will say, from the Book of Monsters. And I know those were the kids' chapters. Because they wrote it.
Yes.
And then it was like, from the Book of blah, 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 written by blah, blah, blah. And I knew those were the
78 kids.
Those were, well, no, that was the adult, well, the, I guess, college student at the time that wrote about the establishment.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So there was a lot going on. And I actually, what helped me is, and I stopped taking notes, and that's where I messed up. I was trying to take notes for our Discord chat. And I was all in the notes. And then at one point, I just started getting into the story and I stopped taking notes. Now I need to go back.
Yeah, because there was a lot. Yeah. There was a lot to take notes on. And the other part is like with this story, if you would have kept, you'd have had a couple pages full of notes. And a lot of it would have been filler stuff.
Yeah, because you don't know until after what's really important and what's not.
And she gave us a lot of shit.
Which is part of the problem. What slowed it down? There was a lot of information, a lot of info dumping, a lot of history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a lot of dumb stuff like making sandwiches and how we go to school and how we eat and what we eat and where we play and there was a
lot
of
that. And we went to the store and they bought this at the store and they did this kind of stuff and they were weird kids and those were all important to kind of get for the other people to know that, they didn't hang out with other kids, but it was a lot of filler stuff. I think I would call it filler stuff, but now that you use the term, the sleight of hand, that was her tool of choice to trick us.
Yes. Yes. All right. Yeah. So we are past our break time. We are going to take a quick break.
Are we?
We are by a couple minutes. We're going to take a break. We are going to listen to these commercials. Grab a drink, you guys. You got some commercials. Go ahead, hop on over to Amazon and hit buy on the book review journal. It's ready and awesome and waiting for you. And we'll be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Shelf Addiction merch store. Check out all the bookish t-shirts, notebooks, mugs, and more. Don't miss out on these original designs, perfect for any book nerd. Support the podcast and visit shelfaddiction.com/merch and pick up your next favorite bookish item. Okay, we are back. We're back that quick. It was quick. Let's continue before we lose our momentum.
Yes.
So let me just, okay, I want to switch gears a little bit. When Iris and Vi, of course, this was all from Vi's point of view initially. I want to say after a certain point, and I did not write down that point, that I was feeling kind of lesbian vibes. Were you feeling lesbian vibes? I'm like, does she like her?
Yeah. It was at that one point where she, I think, Iris started crying and she grabbed her and she kissed her and she tried to hug her and hold her. And I think that was when the reporter, they found the, oh, it was the night when they were supposed to go find the ghoul that Eric saw. Yes. And they went out there and that's when the reporter,
twisted her ankle.
They saw, yeah, they saw the reporter yeah. and chased her and they were like, did she see the kiss? Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. That was one moment, but I think there was another time, like when she hugged her in the bed mm-hmm. or something, and I was like, you know, okay, so I did get that, yeah. but it was like that experimental, do I like her like this, or do I love her like a sister? Yeah, I'm not sure, saying, because she never...
That's my sister, over and over and over and over. I'm like, okay, you're beating that drum, girl, but these actions don't really seem like that's your sister.
Yeah. But again, she was like somebody who had never kissed a boy, but she knew you shouldn't kiss a girl. You know, she was taught not to. So it was kind of like, I feel for her, but do I kiss her because I like her like a sister? You know, it was. I did.
Well, yeah. Now knowing what the project was, that, you know, the test and, you know, what they were trying to achieve with wiping these girls' memories and like replanting information. They missed something, because people who are trying to get the perfect white, heterosexual, cisgendered people, they missed a box while she was doing her reprogramming.
Right. And this was in the 70s, so they probably didn't even... granted, Jennifer wrote it, currently, but yeah. But yeah, they definitely missed that one. But I was also wondering, like, why was that put in there?
I don't know. It seemed, because even yeah. as adults, when they finally managed to catch, when Iris finally caught up Lizzie. With Vi, like Vi would speak to her in a way that was a lot softer and meeker than I expected. You know, like Iris was, did you kill them? What did you do? What are you doing? And she's like, chill, girl. It's cool. Nothing's going on here. You know, I kind of felt like yeah. she was even talking to her a little bit different.
I've been waiting for
different,
you.
Right.
I've just been waiting for you all this time. Yes. Here you are, sister. And that was another weird part for me, because I was like, did I miss something in the book? Because remember, she planted, you know, the clues in the tree or something. And she was watching her from afar, and she's like, there she is. She's found me, blah, blah, blah. And you know, it was like, okay, so you lured her here, but then when she finds her, it's not like some big reveal, like, voila, sister. She's sitting there cutting the damn girl's hair. And I'm like, what the fuck?
They first did, like, they think they're saving the day, and the girl's like, what? Like, I'm right. fine.
You just made me mess up my haircut, but we're good over here. But I was like, so all of this luring, and you're watching her, and you bring her to this house, nothing. And for yeah, that was some other. It was like that was a disconnect for me, because my thing is if I'm luring somebody, granted I didn't get you that time, but when you do get, to, you know, it just. Something didn't fit there for me, that part of the story.
Yeah, and the whole story, like even going back to that first scene where, you know, we don't know who it is at that point, but she's chasing this girl. It seems like she also said something, and I should have probably marked that.
Oh, right, because she's like, chasing, she's luring Laura. You know, I've given her a pebble, and she reminds me of her my sister.
And it seems and it was all looking this. For my sister or something. Like, she's like, has this obsession with her, or obsession with trying to help her, and she's helping these other girls in lieu of her.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. She has a weird obsession situation about Iris. And even after all of that, so I'm going to lure you here to tell you, stop following me. Stop tracking the monsters that are me. But in the same breath, she turns around and says, well, if it's an emergency, here's my email. And I know she'll be hunting me again. We'll see each other again. It's like very strange. It can be a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. it really was. I was confused. Yeah. I had a disconnect. I was confused because I'm like, you want her here and here she is.
See, Vi, and then, you know, we got that scene in 1978 where, you know, they sneak into the basement, basement west, right wing.
Mm-hmm.
They snuck down there. They're looking at all these things. You know, they are giving people electrotherapy. They're putting them in tubs. They're tying them down to the beds. They're really manipulating them. Candy today, shock therapy tomorrow, all these things. And of course, it triggers. Why her name just flew out of my mind?
Iris?
No. Vi's memory.
Vi.
It triggers her, and like for a moment, she turns into this psycho little girl. She is screaming. She's like losing her shit. And then the grandmother comes, and she's trying to hypnotize her. Could you tell that's what she was doing? She was using hypnotism as one of the methods.
Oh yeah, definitely. She did it with the lighter.
Yeah, and she's counting.
She would click it, and that's why they took that lighter. She took that lighter, yeah.
And she's like, "Stop it! No!" Like, because she knew what she was doing. It's like everything.
Yeah,
Everything came back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, "Dang, girl!" So she she essentially attacks the woman. Rightfully so, she deserves it. Ties her down to the bed, the same bed that she was tied down to, and leaves her ass there to die. I'm not mad at it, but I'm like, dang. So that one story, like that one part of the story, really told me Vi have a couple loose screws after that event broke her down. So
Well, Eric even said it.
Yeah.
Brian told me this might happen. He said you might do something crazy.
And then he goes running out to the police to rat her out. Like, you punk. Like, what?
He was a little flunky. She got the right one, didn't she?
She did get the
right
one.
I mean, it was like all of a sudden something triggered in her brain. It was like all that manipulation and all that hypnotism. She couldn't. It was like a switch flipped, and she was like,
She's like, this is done. She's like, I am the monster.
She found that one little space where it did not work. And that's why she would always, you know, look at her like, are you okay? Mm-hmm. Are you okay, Vi?
She had routines with her, you know, the whole trying to feel her, like, her heartbeat, her rate, you know, her pulse and stuff. I'm like, you're psycho lady. And this chick,
they were doctors,
on you. All your work was unraveled and really quickly.
Yeah, in a matter of minutes, just after reading, you know, because she was okay soon until Iris said, "Bye, look, read this." It was like, oh shit, it's not you.
It's me.
It's me.
Yeah.
I'm the monster. And it kind of was like, all this time I thought I was, you know, helping her, and I was the good one, and I was the one, you know, trying to show her how to be the perfect human.
Yeah.
And I'm the monster.
What a whopper. I'm like, dang, girl, that was a whopper. So, I mean, I really thought those parts were good. It was high tension. It was fast excitement and pace. Like those segments when they were trying to discover what was what, like when she was sneaking into the office and they snuck into the basement and they were like trying to play games. And honestly, Vi is an extremely smart girl, an extremely smart woman. Because she even comes up with a plan. Let's build a whole stupid bird garden just so I can have an excuse to talk to this nurse. That's right. Like this whole mirage. Let me just.
I know. And I was like, she's, you know, like, what kid thinks of this, you know? But now I think, like, when we're talking about this, because, you know, they enlisted Eric to help them.
And Eric's probably telling. He's telling.
Exactly. You know, he was supposed to do his little owl calls and this and that and all the time. But she did. There were moments where she says, does Gran know? Because she looks at me like she knows. Mm-hmm. You know, there were a few times where she felt like Gran did know, but didn't say anything. And now, like you said, in retrospect, damn, Eric probably told from the beginning.
Because think about the times where she had threatened Eric, like, you don't tell, you know. I will do this or I will do, you know. So there have been times that she knew he read her out for whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Probably she just didn't assume it was to that extent. She probably just thought it was bratty little brother.
He's like, he tells Grant everything. Yeah. She knew that he told Grant everything. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm like, so Grant knew. She just didn't know. I think there are a few times where Eric didn't know that she had went to the basement, but he kind of knew that she was trying to get into the basement. So that's probably those times when Grant started probably being a little smarter with her, keeping up the key and, you know, locking up things. And so
and she also on purpose chose not to tell Eric some things because she knew he had loose lips. So she did not tell him all the things that she was up to. Right, you know, good for her. She was that smart.
Yeah, she was. And even, I mean, and in the story that the reporter wrote at the end, you know, she mentioned, hey, you know, some of your family is still out here. Your teacher said you were one of the smartest girls, you know, that she had known. So the thing was, because I can't remember exactly how Gran got by. Sorry, guys, we got to get these names right because Jennifer messed us up.
Yeah, she did. Well, I had the name straight until the twist, and I'm like, oh, God, okay.
Oh, yeah, I did, too. I'm like, let me start writing these characters down. Lizzie is Vi, and blah, 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 and Eric is Charles, blah, blah, blah. And then 70 or 80% in the book, she just blew our whole minds.
Like, lies.
But, yeah, so, like, I can't remember, like, how, what family... Was she in a car accident?
No, the car accident was fake. The car accident was implanted memories.
Okay.
Her family was the family that she was that she thought was Iris's family, but that was her family. So she did.
That's right, because she's patient. So she was a Templeton.
Yeah, she was a Templeton.
Iris, we don't know. Right.
Yeah, and because she burnt everything up. She felt bad because she never did what she said she would do, which is help Iris figure out who she was.
She was, right, because she burned everything. Mm-hmm. So that's right. Vi was the Templeton who burned her family, who burned the house down that her family was in.
Was, like, again, we're being told that it was because of brainwashing that she did that. Like, she didn't just do it on her own.
Oh, that's right.
She was kind of...
That's right, because Gran had... Has started like befriending her and giving her so-called therapy. Yeah, and I think it was part of the dad's probation stuff or something for the courts or something. Like if you tell them that you know you're going through therapy and I'm helping your daughter, it could probably help you in court. Eh, damn, Gran.
I don't know. It makes you think twice about leaving your kids in therapy with a therapist. It's like you want to give them the freedom to talk about what they want to talk in a safe space, but don't be in there trying to brainwash my child.
My child. And you won't know because of HIPAA.
They're not going to just tell you.
No, not at all.
Oh, no. So,
no, they won't.
So
not at all.
Oh, my gosh. So there was one more thing I wrote down that I wanted to talk about because I'll take full ownership. I was just trashing this in the previous book that we read, but I liked it in this book, and that was the podcaster stuff. I trashed it in the last book. I said it was blasé and everyone's doing it, which they are. But for some reason,
but the way they wrote it,
it was weird. It wasn't offhand
in the last book.
Yeah, right. That way it was kind of like offhand. He's a podcaster. Blah, that's it. Mm-hmm. And here it's like she is a podcaster. She has the vlogs. I mean, the blog. She's doing some TV, and it's like from her point of view. So I feel like it's legit, right? She talks about editing and uploading and sharing links. She talks about that stuff. So I'm like, now this, I'm...
Equipment. You know, all the gear, all that kind of stuff.
So it came across differently to me. I wasn't like, oh, she's a podcaster. I was like, oh, she's a she's a legit podcaster.
Because it was authentic. Yeah. It was authentic to you. Because in things we do in the... Y'all know what we read last month. Yeah. It wasn't authentic. No. It wasn't anything that brought any authenticity to that career or that life. You know, he wasn't about that life.
No, it was an offhanded thing. Oh,
it wasn't about that life.
It was a convenient tool to get that character where she needed him.
Yep. It was a tool.
That's all it was.
To project her.
I believed it. You know, Iris is a podcaster. And I watch van lifers on YouTube. I'm not about that van life, but I find it very interesting. I'm like, oh, she a van lifer, but then she has a home base too. So I'm like, I'm digging her style. Like I liked that about finding out about, you know, Lizzie. I was very interested in her as a character.
Right. And she had followers and she used Skink. We'll have to go back to him, you know, but It really did feel authentic between the equipment, the television, her crew, the things they did. I think they mentioned like a few shows that, you know, she kind of, you know, just dropped some little nuggets there. Yeah. So, yeah, I did like that element. And it is becoming cliche podcasting. I think I read another book where somebody had a podcast or a YouTube channel. And I'm like, between that and hashtags, I'm about tired. Y'all use them properly, please. Please use them properly and not overuse them.
Please and thank you.
Yes. Yes.
But when it's in the right context and it makes sense and it feels authentic, I give it a pass. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. And she actually did like a little interview with, you know, the little teenage crew, which was a little, you know, but the other guy was just like, yeah, I'm doing a podcast, but we never heard anything else. All he said is, I have a podcast. Cause, you know, he was supposed to interview so and so, but it never happened. No. So at least here, she brought out her equipment. She, you know, she started it. So yeah. It was authentic. I agree. I did like that part.
Yay.
Yeah. But now I do want to talk about poor little Eric. Because in 2019, like,
he's whack.
Eric,
he's lame.
Yeah.
He changed his name to Charles and he like some overweight car dealer or some shit. I'm like, what? With a kid in college.
Like,
in
why
high
did
school,
y'all even?
He just dull.
Yeah, I was like, why did we even bring poor little Eric up in 2019? Maybe we didn't get much about him.
No.
That was on one thing. It was like, can we? But now, in retrospect, I kind of get why they didn't do Eric because he was a punk ass. He was a snitch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Iris, she only talked to him, which we thought was biased because that was her only living connection, you know, like family member to her. But yeah, at first I was like, okay, so nobody gonna talk about Eric here? Eric doesn't get a story. We don't hear Eric's side. Now I see why.
Yeah, although it would have been interesting to get a little bit, especially after finding out, like, yes, he was a child. He was actually younger than Vi. So
yeah,
it's like, I guess you kind of got to give him a pass for doing what he was doing. Cause you know, when your grandmother tells you to do it, you do it, you know, but he, as an adult,
and she probably did it under the auspices of helping. Yes. You're helping me. It wasn't, he didn't think he was being a snitch.
Exactly.
I mean, well, he did say she might pop off one day, but you know, he still was under the, like, your grand's little helper. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't want to be that? So.
Exactly. So, I mean, mm-hmm. but yeah, so I guess I give him a pass, but as an adult, he's all like telling, and now that we know that Lizzie is Iris, he's telling her, you know, stop going after her. Stop doing A and B. She, you know, he still believes, at that point, she also believed she was dangerous as well. So I guess to be fair, mm-hmm. they both thought she was dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I got one other thing I want to talk about.
If you don't mind. Go for it.
2019, The Monster's Handbook. Mm-hmm. That damn Vi, aka, yeah, she didn't change her name in 2019. Nope. All the fucking clues were in the handbook.
Mm-hmm. Just had to read the handbook.
And who finds the damn handbook but Skink? Who the hell finds it but the little boy?
The little boy stole it.
I'm like, you're going to tell me that little sucker is the one that finds all the answers to this story? That I didn't like. Like, yeah, he steals it, but I'm like, he's a little shit. Like, I would have been better off. I would have rather liked had, come on, girl, what's her fucking name? Lizzie, you know, at least find some pages, you know, like read. But I don't even, you know what, to be honest, now that I think about it, I don't even know if she would have read it, because she would have just thought, this is the same handbook
that was
that we wrote when we were kids. Mm-hmm. So now I get it. So now that Skink found it, he's reading it with fresh eyes, not realizing that new entries, or if it was new entries, I don't know if it was dated or not, but you know, he pieced the whole damn puzzle together. Like, she's giving you clues right here. You didn't know that? Yeah. So
he was bratty, but annoying. And then of course they gotta throw his constable daddy in there. And at the end, he's talking about, oh, my dad's all looking at all your stuff and he's watching your show and he wants to have dinner. I'm like, are you trying to make a love match? Is this what's happening?
I know. That's what I was thinking, too. Like, don't tell me, is this part of that, you know, genre defying? Y'all finna throw in a love interest in here, too?
Well, thank goodness the character
we
said.
We will not have romance.
No, at least the character said, maybe when I'm back around there next year sometime, right? Like, I'm not trying to.
Yes. I was like, we will not have a love match in The Monsters and Mad Scientists. No. This is not The Bride of
it's
Frankenstein.
It's not appropriate. It's
not appropriate. No. I was like, you will not do this. No, you won't. I'll stop this book right here, even though I'm almost at the end. Oh God. But yeah. Skink.
What a name.
Solves the damn mystery. Yeah. He solves the damn mystery. I tell you.
But he was disappointed. He thought he was gonna bust in there and save the girl. And he's like, oh. He's not.
Yeah.
Nothing's really happening.
Yeah, he thought he was gonna be the monsters of whatever. Mm-hmm. He was like, I'm gonna, you know, get my own show. I've solved this mystery.
Well, he also tipped, you know, Lizzie off to the dad's disappearance. That's how we knew that the father was killed. Like, he's like, mm-hmm. well, how come the dad left the house before the diary was found? How come? Because, you know, the diary discloses all the abuse she was going through and that she was going to tell everyone and has started telling people. Why did the dad go outside with no wallet, no shoes and this and that and this? But he ran away?
Yeah.
No. He didn't run away.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, it's him thinking about it. Lizzie's not thinking about it at all.
No, because Lizzie just, I need to find my sister, the monster. Yeah. All right, Jennifer. You might get a point more.
Okay. All right. Let's rate the thing. We are ready to rate it. We're ready. Okay. I will let you go first, Classy, because I want to hear your change of opinion.
I originally was giving her 2 stars for this mm-hmm. book. I really did not like this book. Mm. But after talking it through and, you know, reconsidering some of her writing elements and her tools and, you know, a few little things that I was like, why does she do that? And then it hit me. I have gone up to a 3.
All right now. Woohoo!
Yes.
Usually we go the opposite way. But yeah. I'm going to copy you. And this is not, and I'm going to copy you by giving her an extra star. But we didn't have this. We didn't have the same stars.
I know. I can tell.
I originally came into this conversation at a 3, but now I feel like it earns a 4. I liked it. I really liked it. The only caveat is that beginning is slow AF. It's slow.
Yeah.
But if you could push it really through, and this is something, you know, nowadays I'd be like, I'll drop a book. I don't care. And if it weren't for Buddy Reads, if it wasn't for this podcast, I would have stopped before I got to the good part. So
definitely
just be cognizant. The beginning is heavy in exposition, heavy in, you know, all the things that we don't need.
Information overload.
Yeah. It takes a minute to get into the groove of this method of storytelling. But I feel like once you get there, you're in. It's in and it's interesting. Yeah. And I love that I could not figure out what the hell was going on.
that part
gave her, like, that is honestly, I was teetering between a 2 and a 3 originally, but she got the 3 off the strength of the fact that I couldn't figure out what the hell was
going on. Figured out.
So she got the 3, and now I feel even more happy about the read after talking, so she gets a 4. This is still not something I would recommend for everyone, but for what it's worth, this was a good read.
And this is my second Jennifer book. I will say Winter People probably had more of a creepy feel to it. And that's what I was kind of looking for. So this was a different writing style from what I've read from her before. Granted, it's only one book. I've only read one of other book of hers. So like I said, 3 isn't bad.
It's good.
I probably wouldn't recommend it because it's just not my style. You know me and slow burns. And I felt like this, like you were saying, it was slow as fuck. So this slow burn was like slow.
It was.
70%. But
yeah,
I will say she did use some really good tools in her writing. No, we did not figure out. Both of us didn't figure it. It's usually unusual. Sometimes like you figured. Yeah, like you'll be like, oh, I figured it out. And I was like, I didn't. But no, neither one of us. And she gave us, like, from what I can remember, 3 twists, 1 reveal, but 3 good twists that we did not see coming at all.
Yeah, I give her credit. Now, and I agree. This also, you know, you guys, you listen in, you know, we prefer faster paced, plot driven thrillers, right? Thriller and mysteries. This is kind of also characters heavy, right? There's a lot to learn about these characters. There's a lot of psycho stuff, you know, psychotherapy type stuff going on here. There's a lot of like history and abuse and like hard themes. Like, who wants to? And you kind of expect that when you talk about Frankenstein, you expect somebody to be mutilated in some kind of way.
Right.
To me, it was a little horror. It was dark. It was a little bit horror. The ending could have been a little bit harder, I think, but it is what it is, right?
Yeah. She tried to hit us at the end with that little 1-2, you know, with the dad. So I'm like, yeah, 1-2
punch, little. But I did, you know, all of the parts where, you know, the monster, the Book of Monsters, the things that the kids were saying, like, monsters look all kind of ways. Monsters are not easily seen, you know, so it's really subtle how she is trying to say monsters are regular people. We're all monsters
in some kind of way,
in some kind of way. And I don't know, maybe it's not the worst thing ever, depending on whose point of view it is and what the monster is doing. How bad are they?
Right. Yep.
So I don't know. Yep. I just
everybody's monster is different. You know, the monsters in your life may be totally different than the monsters in my life, but we all have monsters. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's what she was saying. The women that she saved, and they had different lives. You know, you had some. It was their husband. Some there were the parents or a boyfriend or you. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, Jennifer. Good job.
I will give you credit, yes. Jennifer.
Wow. That shocked the hell out of me that I've changed that to a 4. I didn't anticipate doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess we are done with this. You want to close the door on this? We are done?
Yes, we're done. Okay. Good discussion. Yes. Yeah. Love when we can discuss it out and see things in a different light than what we originally saw when we read it. So.
Absolutely. I love that too. Excellent. All right, you guys, so we are done for today. Thanks for listening to this entire episode. If you still are here, please make sure you hit the like button on whatever platform you're on. Don't forget to subscribe before you leave, and we will see you in the next episode. Take care of yourselves. If you enjoyed today's episode and would like to show your support, there are a few things you can do. Head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave a positive 5-star review, or like this episode on your favorite podcast player. It seems so simple, but it really helps me out. You can share this podcast with other book nerd friends or on your favorite social media space. You can also join the Shelf Addiction Patreon family. For as little as $2 a month, you will help us produce even more awesome content for your ears. You can also consider joining the Shelf Addiction official Facebook group, where we talk all things bookish and more in a safe space. The Shelf Addiction Podcast is a part of the Nerdy Maven Network. You can also reach us via email at info@shelfaddiction.com. Thank you for listening.